and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to the podcast all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician aside from actually playing your instrument, which we're going to take as a given. So I would like to start out just by saying thank you to the lovely Patreon supporters. I've relied on you sometimes to keep motivated with making sure that I do release these episodes weekly for you. I've found it very tough, especially over the last few months, to kind of keep motivated. You know, there's been a lot going on. If you listen to my last episode, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I just wanted to say thank you. You've kind of kept me centered and kept me focused on something that is incredibly important to me, which is sharing information, knowledge, and just hopefully creating a connection with you, and so that you don't feel so alone and you maybe even feel supported. Connection, that's the thing. So I just want to thank you for facilitating that, not just for me but for everyone that's listening. As far as I'm concerned, although this is weird for me because obviously I'm kind of speaking into the void as it were, but I do feel that there's a sense of connection and community when I do these, even though right now I'm just sitting in a room talking to a camera, if that makes any sense. But and I do feel that all the listeners also connected. It's a beautiful thing. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to you, you lovely, lovely humans. So today, I would like to talk about egos. Now, I want to talk about navigating people's egos and personality within this industry, basically. And I have worked with many humans with many quirks, should we say that? I think so. So obviously the most obvious and the most the most stereotypical would be the artists. Artists, they have a big ego, blah, 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 blah. By the way, not always true, can I just say, but sometimes very true. But I think, a common misconception is that it is just the artists that have egos. It's not. It's the artists, it's the musicians, it's the crew. Like, we all have egos here. We all have egos. We all have interesting personalities, and being able to navigate that in a very, I want to use the word productive. I'm not sure that that's quite the one I'm going for, but yeah, just to do that in a productive, meaningful way, I think is such an important skill that I certainly have not really heard anyone talk about, because yeah, there's something, can't put your finger on it almost about it. But anyway, I'm going to attempt to talk about it. So let's see how this goes. So, can I just say also that I will be the first to say that I also have an ego, obviously. As I said, we all do. I think there's something about becoming aware of your own shortcomings and also your own biases, your own your own ways of thinking about things. And I'm going to give you an example of one that I have realized recently, my own way of dealing with things through therapy. Hey Karen, thanks. You're awesome. I love you. So I know I'm always talking about therapy. I don't care. I want to normalize this. Like, if anyone's thinking, oh, I don't know if I should go to therapy. It's so good. It's so good. I've learned so much about myself in the last year, and it's just, it's amazing. Now, here's a really horrible thing that I learned about myself, but it makes sense and it's informed a lot of my behaviors in the past. So you may have picked up on this. How can I frame this? One of the most common things that I hear people say about me when they're talking to me is that I'm very harsh on myself. And you may have picked up on this, you may have thought it even. And I have never thought that about myself. Not really. Maybe back in the day, I used to talk really badly to myself. But honestly, in the last, 7 or 8 years, I've thought I've been really good to myself and really, you know, speaking well and like about myself, to myself, all of that. Anyway, turns out in my therapy, we worked out. Nope. Incorrect. I am better, but I do talk to myself. I treat myself in a very harsh way and I hold myself to very high standards and I'm very unforgiving of myself. And, you know, if I do anything wrong, if you like, I punish myself very much. And I didn't realize I was doing this at all. I'm still very unaware of how I do it. I'm not catching myself as I talk to myself in certain ways. I am a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, but I don't think it's anywhere near the degree of what, at the rate it's happening. But anyway, aside from that, an interesting byproduct of that, and basically, so there's a reason. What's the reason? Why is the reason that I wanted to say about this? I can't remember, but basically I'm very unforgiving. And if I do things wrong, that's kind of what the crux of this is. And what I realized was that this flaw, if you like, in my personality, this quirk, however you want to put it, has made it, has actually expanded. It has extended into my relationships with other people. And that's across the board, like right from acquaintances or people that I've even met once to people that I have very long-standing deep relationships with, where if they behave in a certain way that, like, if they have a behavior that hurts me, I shut off and I kind of like, not reject them, but kind of reject them before they can reject me, sort of thing. And it's because it's a reflection on myself and how intolerant I am with myself. Like I say, from my perspective, it comes as like a protection thing. Oh gosh, you have hurt me or you're going to hurt me, therefore I need to keep you at arm's length. But actually, it is a reflection on myself and how horrible I can be to myself when I'm not perfect. I have major perfectionism issues. I know that I've spoken about it before on podcasts and I've gotten better, but I still I don't have it now, and I'm finding evidence, good old CBT, I'm finding evidence against this idea that if you do something wrong in your life, to me, it was that everything is ruined. Like, that relationship is ruined. It completely, like, almost like relationships are so fragile that if you do one thing wrong, then it's all going to go wrong and it's done. It's ended. That's it. It's done. I'm learning a much healthier way of thinking about those things, which is really interesting. Right. We're not even into the episode, but what I will say is that, so I've sort of like learned this kind of acceptance about myself and therefore other people and the behaviors that people might, express. Wrong word. The behaviors they might present, the behaviors do not make the person. It's just an action, and it might not be a great one, but it doesn't, you know, it's just a part of them. It is not them, if that makes sense. And this has been a massive revelation for me, like, over the last few months. I can't even begin to tell you, and just realizing how robust relationships are and all of that. But anyway, an interesting byproduct of that, and here we go. Right, you ready for some, I'm about to admit something here. And if you know, you know. If you don't, then you probably have been like, really? So, one of my favourite things to watch in life. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure. Do you know what? I don't feel guilty about it. I don't care. Is Married at First Sight, Australia in particular. The UK one has started doing the Australia format, so I'm kind of okay with that. That's good, the last one, fine. But Married at First Sight, Australia is one of my favourite things to watch. I love watching the dynamics with people. I love watching people fall in love. I love communication. I love the therapy sessions, like on the couch, all that sort of stuff. I love it. I absolutely adore it. Now, in the past, I would very much like separate people within the experiment into people that I liked and people that I didn't like. But an interesting thing that I found in watching this newest series is that there are, bar one, and you know who I'm talking about if you watch it, there are no people that I think I either like them or I don't like them. I just have like, oh, I understand them as a whole, that their behaviours, there can be things that are happening in tandem and it's not one or the other. It's not black and white thinking. It's more like people are more nuanced than that. And yes, they might present behaviours that are not ideal, but there's a reason for that. And it kind of like, it doesn't negate good aspects of their personality and good actions that they take. Anyway, I find that this whole way of thinking is really, really useful as well for navigating relationships, egos, personalities of the people that you're working with. So I have a way of seeing this, and I'm not sure that it's... No, do you know what? No, it works for me. So in terms of tolerance, right, I kind of have a hierarchy of tolerance for egos and personalities, because obviously just because someone acts in a certain way, you can either choose to accept it or not accept it. And in the past, I would very much black and white thinking, like if someone did something, an action that was out of what I deemed to be correct or morally right or anything like that, I would be like, you have done this one thing, therefore you are a bad person, therefore I don't want to be around someone like that, and I would exit. That is, it's a flaw that I've had. It's something that obviously I've grown through doing all this therapy work. But that was very much my way of seeing things. Now, in terms of tolerance of these behaviours, for me, I would have the highest tolerance, obviously, with the artist. Because at the end of the day, I have the least experience of understanding their experience, first of all. You know, I don't know what it's like to be playing massive shows where your name is on the door, your name is on the ticket, they are there to see you and the pressure that comes with that. And not only that, but doing it for sometimes decades, having that constant pressure. I don't know what that feels like, nor will I ever, I hope. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. And living... like your life is that. Your life is about getting up on stage and performing for other people, and bearing your soul in such a vulnerable way, and then getting accolades for that. And then also being completely, you know, you may be completely chastised for that and being judged by that. And, you know, anyway, so in terms of tolerance, the highest level of tolerance that I have for that is definitely for the artist. And then it gradually comes down in terms of like, you know, musicians and crew, we're all the same, therefore we have, obviously we all have different experiences, but in terms of like what I'm willing to let slide, if you like, but in terms of actually coming to terms with difficult behaviour and working with difficult people, the thing that I do always try to lead with, always, and in life generally, if I come across anyone that I'm like, oh, that's a bit rough, like what you did or what you said or whatever, the first thing that I will lead with is I will just say to myself, I bet they're feeling quite insecure. That seems like an insecure behaviour. And maybe that's slightly... what's the word, judgmental maybe, on why they're behaving the way they are. It might even be seen as kind of looking down on someone, maybe, honestly, maybe it is. It's not how I mean it, but if I can say, oh, they're probably just really insecure, it kind of opens up myself to lead with hopefully a sense of compassion, like, oh, that's such a shame that they feel so insecure that they feel they have to react this way to assert themselves and to feel more secure and throw their weight around or whatever else. So I do try and just say to myself, oh, they're obviously really insecure about this. Like, that's, what a shame. What a shame. Now, I will say that doesn't mean that it negates any responsibility for things that they do, and I will kind of touch upon that in a minute. The other thing that I try to tell myself is that you know, we obviously, all of us, we don't know the ins and outs of any of each other's experiences and backgrounds. Not we might to a degree, but we don't, you know, we don't. We can try and understand, we can try and be in their shoes, but we have not been where they are. We have not experienced all the stuff that they have coming to this point of the moment that they've said something a bit weird or they've acted badly, again, in inverted commas, badly. That's very judgmental. But the point is that I choose to believe that everyone does the best they can with what they've got in that moment. And so I try to also think, right, they're doing the best they can right now, which again hopefully leads me to this sense of compassion for them, I hope. This is also really useful when it comes to like online trolls and people like that, because it's like, oh man, like you feel like you need to do that to feel important or worthy or, you know, any sense of value. I find that really sad, and I try to lead with some sort of compassion when it comes to that. I'm not perfect, obviously, and some things do get to me and affect me, but I think just leading with that way of thinking is just useful because it allows you to step back a bit and just not take things personally as well. It's very rarely about you. And again, I think that's why I kind of shared my experience about how I was reacting to people, but it was actually more a reflection on myself and how I felt about myself and my relationship with myself, which is getting better. But again, there's work to be done. There's always work to be done. Always, always, always. So that's kind of how I baseline deal with difficult egos, personalities, moments, actions from other people. However, what I will say is that although before I've been very extreme in my reactions to bad behaviour, what I deem to be bad behaviour, by just exiting a situation, I think it's better to kind of, like I say, not just do it as like they've done one bad thing, therefore I need to get away from this situation. I think life is more nuanced than that. However, in saying that, there are boundaries. There are boundaries. And, you know, we all have our personal beliefs, boundaries, things that we deem acceptable. And again, I think that there's a sliding scale with that. There are certain things for me that are absolute hard no-goes, like absolutely not, I will not tolerate that, and there is nothing that you can do that would keep me, and I will say something as well, which is unlike me, and you know, if it's, especially if it's like to an artist or someone that's paying me essentially, but there are certain lines that if they get crossed, there's no way back for me, and you know, I'm not, do you know what, I'm not sorry about that. It's just that it's only a handful of things, but if you do those things, no. And I'm not even going to share them with you because this is going to sound awful. I've had people use that against me in a very, they think it's funny, and then other people have weaponized it against me, and I therefore am very guarded about what those things are. Because the other thing is, I need you to show me your true colours. Like, I need you to. So anyway, there are certain things that I will not tolerate. And that's that. Sorry. But aside from that, yeah, there are certain boundaries, and it's what you're willing to put up with as well. You know, there's been situations where I have been verbally abused by artists because and you know, I look back now and I know it's because they were severely out of control and they needed to feel a sense of control. There's been other sort of like incidents that have not been great, but again, it often comes from a place of insecurity, and I recognized that at the time, to be fair, and I did stick around. Boundaries were violated for sure, but I stuck around for a little bit longer, and sort of, I suppose it was just to see if it was a one-off or if this was their way of working. Turns out it was their way of working, and I exited the situation because it was like, no, I'm not doing this. You know, there's other things where I've seen how other, like how artists are treating other people, and not even me, but it's when they treat other people that they deem to be lesser than them. I have a real issue with that. I really do. It's not okay in my books. And again, it's kind of like, right, you've crossed that boundary by treating that person like that, by talking to that person like that. Am I willing to stick around? Am I willing to be associated with someone that treats other people like that? Nah, often not. I think these days I'd be better at addressing it, whereas before I would just bow out. I wouldn't address it because I'd be scared of confrontation or whatever. But again, now I think it would be more of a conversation which would open up the opportunity for a bit of self-awareness on their part. And if they change their behaviour, great, that's fine. Then that shows me that you care, and that's great. However, if it carried on, no, like that's because I've shown you what my boundary is with working with you. And if you don't respect that, that's fine. But I therefore, you know, just making it clear, I think. So anyway, yeah, I think the whole dealing with different personalities and stuff, it's always going to be a thing. And the thing is, when you're on the road with people, there are so many different personalities kicking about. And just being able to, I think, find points of connection is kind of the most important thing when it comes to especially touring and keeping a level of harmony, because there will always be things that you disagree on. But I think there's a way to respectfully disagree with people. There's a way to focus on the connection points. And often that is music, obviously, when you're on the road, and that's between everyone on the road. Everyone loves music when you're on the road, because you wouldn't be there. You wouldn't be doing that job if you didn't enjoy music. And whether that's you're a musician, whether that's you're a crew member, there's always going to be a baseline connection there. And I think finding that, celebrating that is so important, and holding on to it when times are tough, because they will be. There will be blow-ups in any musical situation, professional situation. There will be, because the odds are against you in terms of that. Like, you're all living together, you're living in each other's pockets a lot of the time. You become very close, and with that comes frustration and you know, letting things out maybe in an inappropriate way. It does happen. And some people, you know, they go the opposite way, they retreat. That's what I would usually do, is kind of become very quiet and all of that sort of stuff. But there's kind of the respect of that, and not trying to make other people adhere to your way of dealing with things and your way of, just your way of dealing with things, basically. Just having that respect for, okay, this is how you deal with things. In the same way, if someone wants to go out shouting around at each other, okay, I can respect that that's how you're dealing with it. It doesn't mean that I have to like accept the behavior itself. It doesn't mean I can't have a conversation about it. And this is the other thing, and again, this is coming back to what I said when I sort of started this episode about relationships professionally as well are a lot more robust than you think. And that is shown by, if you listen to any stories of bands or of session musicians working together, none of them are perfect at all. There are so many times I hear about this mad behaviour that people present, and yet they work with artists for years. And you just think, yeah, do you know what? You don't need to be perfect all the time. You don't need to, you know, if you do one thing that is seen as some sort of bad behaviour or action or whatever, that doesn't ruin everything. It doesn't. So, like, it's going to be okay. You're allowed to feel things. You don't need to suppress it all just because you're being paid. Obviously, ideally, there's a healthy way of doing that and there's a professional way of doing that. But if worst comes to worst, it's not like the end of the world, which I think I very much have been at the extreme of that. And therefore, like I say, it is a reflection of how I felt and to a degree still feel about myself on the inside. So I'm going to go work on that now and leave you to your day. I'm not even sure that most of that episode made any sense to you, but here we are at the end of it. I hope that you're keeping well. If this did resonate with you in some sort of way, please do like, share and subscribe. Also, if you'd like to support this podcast over on Patreon, you now can over at patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. And a shout out for, if you want any sort of one-on-one mentoring to help you with your professional journey, wherever you are on that journey, if you just want some support, some accountability, if you want to help some help like setting goals or anything like that, if you go to emilydrums.com/coaching, then let's set up a call and see what I can do for you, basically. Anyway, I'm going to love you and leave you, and I hope you're having a great day. I'll speak to you soon. All right, bye.